The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, good morning and welcome to Chai FM, where I am giving you all the insights and sort of a little bit of a feel of what's coming in the future. And I must tell you, unluckily last week, due to technical reasons, I wasn't able to share. The week before, I was in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. And I must tell you that for the first time, I saw in a long time, there have been a number of technical revolutions around the world. There's been so many changes that have completely changed the way that we live, we work, we play, we entertain ourselves. It's pretty remarkable how much change technology has brought over the last decade or two. I mean, since the launch of personal computer in the 90s, where it really went mainstream, till today, where you've got a supercomputer essentially in your hand, call it a cell phone, call it a mobile, call it what you will, it can compute and deal with stuff beyond anything you could ever imagine. And that leads directly into what Mobile World Congress is, what I saw. And we're going to discuss that a lot during Tech Talk Cafe later, which we'll talk about AI and what's happening around AI within the mobile and the greater technology industry. And there's some really crazy indications of how fundamental it's going to be. And then talking gadgets, all the crazy phones and interesting tech bits and pieces that I got a chance to play with and got to see and got to experience thereafter. But before we get into all of that insane craziness, a couple of really interesting news items that hit the desks of all of us over the last couple of weeks. One of the most disturbing ones is the CIPC company's office has been hit with a massive data breach. But the interesting point about this data breach is that it started in 2021, according to the reports that I've read. And the people who did this at the time tried to ransom CPIC and they didn't pay and they blocked access and they went away. But recently they tried again and were able to get further data out of CPIC. And right now, the CPIC database is down. All linked elements of South Africa's company's database, that's BizPortal and CPIC website, are not working. I tried to log in using my credentials. It immediately started asking me a whole lot of really interesting questions like, when did I get married? When was my ID book issued? What's my spouse's ID number for verification against the database? And then it fails. Then it asked me to change my password. It felt like I was being scammed by CPIC. The sad and most incredible part of this is that without those databases, without those functioning websites or platforms, you can do nothing. You can change no directors. You cannot register a company. You cannot pay any of the fees you need to pay. You can do nothing related to business or the fundamentals of business in South Africa at this present time. I have no access. I cannot see. I cannot search. I cannot transact. It's absolute craziness. And they do say that all platforms are down for the moment and they will bring them up as soon as possible. But no further information has been posted about these breaches. And all indications are that the sheer level of sophistication of the cyber criminals out there has reached unbelievable proportions. And AI, interestingly, has got a part to play with that. I'll discuss a little bit about that in AI everywhere and MWC context. But simply put, we're now sitting in a country where you cannot transact with the government or with the countries with regard to anything to do with companies. And that is a serious, serious challenge. And I hope they get this sorted out as quickly as possible, because it's really fundamental that you cannot transact at all. You cannot get in, you cannot authenticate, and it's starting to feel like a scam because it keeps asking for information and then telling you it's not valid when I'm looking at the documents with valid information on it. So really bad for all of us. I hope they fix it as quickly as possible. And on that down note, would you believe Facebook and Instagram? I don't know if any of you guys felt that break. It was about 1.5 hours down, and they were not accessible. Now, there's lots of rumors of a hack, obviously, from Russia and from its friends. It seems, though, that more and more it was an internal change that was made, or an internal failure of some platform or system that blocked Facebook and Instagram. The good news, they're back up and running. And that, again, just goes to show that these electronic platforms are not, you know, we get used to 99.9999997 uptime, and they sort of take them for granted. And then suddenly you try to go on to one of them and it's not authenticating, or it's popping you out, or something's going wrong. So be aware these things happen. But Meta say that it was definitely an internal issue, which they corrected. Now, the rumors are abounding that it wasn't. But let's watch this space and see what happens. Again, just to highlight how cyber criminals, cyber attacks are going to become more and more relevant on our lives as we grow more and more reliant on electronic platforms to do everything. In fact, because of the cost savings, the efficiencies, and the ease of access from anywhere in the world at any time with various companies, businesses, governments, you name it, that we interact with, it becomes a de facto and, in fact, ultimately the only way that you can transact with any enterprise or government. And that in itself creates a lot of challenges. There's a lot of cyber attacks going on in Europe right now, coming out of the Russian and Belarusian area. And apparently that is having a massive effect on a lot of major companies and major databases, and railways and transport systems are being attacked with, you know, they call them DDoS, denial of service attacks, amongst other things. So the environment, never mind the craziness of other sort of physical wars and whatnot going around the world, the cyber wars are ramping up, and companies are going to have to get a lot smarter, a lot quicker, and a lot faster in doing so. And talking of physical wars, which is quite an interesting thing, 4 cables are down in the Red Sea. And the rumors are, and there's no confirmation because everybody's blaming everybody, but the rumors are that the Houthi rebels have cut these cables. It's more likely that all 4 of them that were lying in a similar area were dragged by an anchor or something of that sort. But the simple fact is that around about 25% of the traffic, the internet traffic around the world, and certainly the Seacom cable, which connects South Africa via the Red Sea to Europe, has gone down. And here's what's fun. The time to repair will be anything from 1 month to 2 months because of the required permits necessary to operate in that area, apart from the fact that there might be a couple of missiles, bombs, and other things flung at you while you're sitting there trying to lift up cables and repair them. However, all these companies rerouted their data, so you're probably not feeling much in South Africa now or globally, because most of that data can flow through all the other cables. And again, that's great evidence that you need to have a robust system. So the cables on the west side of Africa are taking up all the slack from the cables on the east side of Africa. So watch this space. Hopefully there won't be any major interruptions or delays on internet from South Africa to Europe. But it's a challenge when your entire life is running on the internet and somehow, somewhere, they can just cut a cable and boom, you have no connection. On that note, we'll have a quick break for our sponsors. And then we're talking about MWC and AI everywhere.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Now, moving swiftly into the topic of the, I wouldn't even say the day, the month, the year. AI for the last Mobile World Congress was barely 3 months old. It has just been launched. OpenAI just launched the LLM, the large language model, chatbot style, AI-driven platform. And it hadn't yet impacted much to do with our world. So last year was all about connectivity, inclusiveness, 6G, et cetera, et cetera. Not that any of those technologies were were any further back. They've advanced significantly. So 6G and the next generation platforms that mobile will run on significantly clarified their use cases and their benefits and their technical parameters at this Mobile World Congress. But what every single manufacturer of mobile phones, no question, and even the chipset manufacturers, people like Qualcomm, were talking about all the various AI abilities. So in less than a year, essentially, you can now get, and they launched with Samsung, Google, and Samsung launched a ton of AI features that are interestingly, and obviously Samsung want to make hay while the sun shines, and I'm digressing slightly, but I think this is really important, is that generally all the AI platform enhancements, such as circle to search and voice translation, and many of the other features that at this moment are pretty unique to the high-end Galaxy S24 devices, are going to come in some form or fashion to all new mobile devices over the next couple of years. And that was absolutely clear at MWC. Now, again, to digress slightly and just give a little bit of context, many years ago, MWC was the launch pad for all mobile. Samsung famously have had filled up stadiums with 5,000 people to launch the latest Galaxy S phone and many other, G, Sony, so many other manufacturers. Obviously, Apple, they may attend, but they never exhibit, and they have their own show to go, so they never tell anyone what's going on. But all these other Android phone and other phone manufacturers, Nokia, you name it, used to have massive launches of devices at MWC. Now, all of them to have moved the sort of tier one, LG, Sony have pretty much fallen out of, LG have stopped, Sony have slowed down, and Samsung remains probably the largest known brand in the mobile phone universe, did their launch of the S24 in January, normally a little later than that, and they're now trying to avoid the craziness and the sort of hype of what goes on at MWC. But there were a lot of, I won't even call them second tier, but up-and-coming manufacturers like a Xiaomi, Honor, Oppo, HMD, Nokia again, they did release a number of devices, and we'll talk about them in the gadget section of the show. And some of them were really interesting. Some of them were very similar or evolutionary in look to stuff that went before. But hiding in and amongst all of this was a whole new generation of chipsets from Qualcomm. Now, Qualcomm are the major manufacturers of mobile chipsets globally. Intel have held the sort of computing and sort of the heights of and the market share of computing sets and have done enormous amount of work, and they've completely missed the mobile revolution for one reason or another that we won't go into in this thing. But AI, the AI ability of these chips that are going into mobile phones now is beyond anything that has ever been created before. So what they do is they have something called the CPU. The CPU is the central processing unit, and that is anything up to 12, sometimes beyond cores, but generally around 8 or 9 cores within a chip. And then you've got the GPU, which is the graphic processor, which has become an enormously powerful area, as NVIDIA have shown. They were GPU manufacturers generally and now have become one of the largest manufacturers of AI chips going forward using GPU technology type stuff. So it's really unbelievable amount of work going in that space. But Qualcomm are the big daddies in the space. They seem to lead. They're by far the largest. And Qualcomm chips, the chips inside, all have now what is called NPUs, which are the AI or AI processor chips. And what the fundamental change from last year to this is that a lot of this processing is happening on device. So all the algorithmic stuff can now be computed on the device itself. an example of that with Samsung is that all the voice translation and on-the-fly voice translation, in other words, when you speak to someone in English and they are in China, they hear you in Chinese, and when they reply in Chinese, you hear it in English in almost real time. I was schooled by an engineer that there's no such thing as real time, because real time is real time down to a microsecond. There are tiny delays. I've used the platform many times now. I've spent a lot of time playing with people who speak French and German and Italian and Spanish, and it works extremely well. When you're talking, you've got to be a little careful not to talk over the person. The AI is not that smart. But all of that happens on the device using the combination of new generation NPUs, new generation GPUs, and new generation CPUs that are all in the latest Qualcomm chips. They're now bringing that technology and the ability of AI to compute enormous amounts of data from data sets that are supplied to them for the radio. So the new chipsets from Qualcomm on their radio chips can be much more efficient, much smarter in the use of power. So they're faster, have more capabilities, and much more efficient in terms of battery, because battery on a mobile device is a key, absolutely vital key feature using AI technologies. And what became clear is that the good old days of central computing with regard to AI, so using ChatGPT or using Bard or using, well, Bard has now been renamed to Gemini. You're going to see Gemini all over Google. There's some really interesting craziness going on with Gemini. But that aside, you're going to see Gemini coming onto mobile phones, computers, browsers, wherever you go. Happening is that it is breaking down into the base technology of an LLM or any form of AI platform is becoming democratized in a way that every company can take the base technology, feed the right amount of information that it needs, and use that information in that environment. So if that environment is simply to improve the quality of signal between a mobile phone and a tower, and then you've got a different AI working in the tower trying to figure out how to maximize the tower's performance, that is what became clear. So there is no monolithic AI floating about that is going to do everything. It seems more and more that AI is going to become very specific, and very specific in its knowledge and its task. So you can think of AI as hyper-specialized platforms that do very specific things for a very specific reason. So on a mobile phone, the translation, the circle to search, and all these other smart things that can be done once you have access to tons of data. And again, that data can be compressed and sent directly to. So the intelligence is now sitting on your device. It's not sending information into the web. It's not sending it across the air. So security improves. It becomes far more robust. And most importantly, like what's happened, and again, all these things are interlinked. Imagine if you're dealing with an LLM that's based in servers in Europe, and you're now in South Africa, you're 140 milliseconds away. That's 280 on the return leg. So it's 140 milliseconds to get there, 140 to get back. That's 280 milliseconds. That's almost a quarter of a second between a request and a response. Now, for certain functions, that hardly makes a difference. But for translation, for voice, for security, for all sorts of very fast local tasks, latency becomes a huge problem, and you need to make sure that it's happening on the device. Also, do you want all this information flowing through various pipes and various channels that may well be hacked at some? So all your private data gets sent into the web, you do a search, and all the LLMs, and I must tell you, be aware of this, they warn you. Most of us don't read the fine print, like we don't read those package inserts and the pills we take. But they warn you that any information you share with an LLM may well be used to train the LLM and go into the LLM or AI's database to be used for other purposes with other people. If 3 million zillion people ask for a translation of a document or send certain information to the web, that gets stored, it gets remembered, and gets used to improve the ability of the LLM or the AI platform to deliver smarter, cleverer, easier, simpler, better performance for other people, but it might include some of your data. So be extremely careful what you ask those crazy platforms to do. But within the context of Mobile World Congress, circling back to where this whole thing is going, AI has become an omnipresent buzzword, which is almost too much. It's overwhelming. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's going on about how they can do it. But what was impressive is that we saw demos. I certainly saw many demos, companies that were showing the benefits. So, for example, the whole age of AI phones has arrived. The Galaxy S24, Samsung stole the march and have done it themselves. Honor, which was another big noise or voice at Mobile World, got their own AI, but they focused it on eye tracking. And Xiaomi have done the same thing. And there are just so many different ways that I could actually see that using this ability to process tons of data in a very logical fashion, almost human-like. AI is not quite artificial intelligence yet. It's all algorithmic, using massive computing power. But that's, again, a discussion for a completely different time. These platforms are not truly intelligent, but they operate at such speed, using so much data, so much access to data sources that they feel pretty much intelligent. But what they do is allow all these manufacturers to offer services that feel like magic. I mean, imagine sending a WhatsApp or taking a picture. This is what the Galaxy S24 showed us in terms of AI. Take a picture, circle the picture, and ask it to search for something, or the name of the person, or the name of the shoe, or the name of the pants that person are wearing. And pretty scarily, it will, most cases, find a perfect answer to you. You can buy it, you can shop it, you can do all sorts of things. So we are definitely entering an era where all these companies are going to experiment with new ways, more efficient ways, smarter, more intelligent ways. And one of the most interesting demos I saw, there's a brand new phone which was on the, it's not a phone, it's a mobile device that does not use apps. And the reason it does not use apps, and this was on the T-Mobile stand, Germany, the reason it does not use apps is they're using AI to effectively interface between you and the internet. So you'll say, I want to travel to Germany next week. What are the best prices? It would then bring up all the information, all the booking sites, all this stuff in a seamless way without you downloading one app. Theoretically, you could connect it to your email and give it access, the phone, and say, what are my latest emails? But again, you wouldn't need an email app. They would simply pop up in a format you can see. And they were demonstrating exactly that. The browsing was built in. You just speak to it or type into it, and it gives you the information you need. So you don't, again, like an LLM, you simply say, translate the following to German or Spanish. And it just does so. Or listen to what I'm saying and send a message to my mother. It does so using a messaging API platform without you ever downloading the app. So for the first time, this madness of hundreds of apps and opening this app and closing that app and doing all sorts of things on the phone, which feels like the only way we can do it, for the first time, I saw a way that may land up being, ultimately, they're using a mobile device to do it, but it could be as simple as a little earpiece. It could be goggles. It could be glasses. Some other form of technological connection that is much more natural than a slab of plastic and steel and glass in your hand. You won't ever need a phone. Your voice will be easily the way to do it. And beyond, we think about the brain interface. Maybe you'll just think it and it'll happen. And some little speaker will tell you what's going on, or some little glass will shine on your glasses the information that you need, or navigate you where you're going. So there is some serious thinking going on with regard to the format and the nature of the devices we interact with. Right now, the intelligence is us. We have to put information in to get information out. That information is indexed and organized by the app, by the platform, by the owner, by Google, you name it. It doesn't matter who you're working with. They control that information, they send it to you. But imagine a world, and this is definitely coming out at Mobile World Congress of ubiquitous connectivity at ridiculously high speeds. One of the key things that I noticed around 6G is that it'll be so smart in its implementation that if you're in a building and your colleague is standing by the window with the best signal, and you're deep in the building and it's concrete and you have no signal, your phone and phone will talk and route all the communication through that device to the tower to get the best signal. So you'll never have hot blank spots or anything. And 6G platform will manage that seamlessly. So no matter where you are, what you're doing, direct to satellite, you name it, you will have connectivity all over the world. Deepest seas, maybe not, but in the highest mountains, the deepest valleys, as long as you can see the sky, you will be connected. Again, a topic that needs a whole area to talk about. But this seems to be the beginning of the massive change that is coming to technological interface. Right now, it's definitely a mobile phone. It was originally, if you look at the history, it was mainframes using cards. Then it was mainframes using coding. Then it was personal computers there where you could interface. And then that was all DOS and lines, and you typed in messages using cryptic codes. Then it became user interfaces like Apple and Microsoft Windows and many others. And even now, the computer is a fundamental part of everything we do, certainly from a business and major communication or operation point of view. But we're living in the mobile world where the phones are often more powerful than the computer you have at home or even in the business. Talking about massive servers connected to all of us. And that seems to be the way we work. But we're moving to a much more dematerialized device era where essentially the computer is the world. You ask it things, you mention it, you think it, and suddenly you get information in a relevant format on a screen on the wall, screen on your mobile, on a mobile device should you need it, or a screen on your glasses, or some form of virtual sort of augmented reality device that you wear on your head or on your hand. There was a little AI pin which broadcasts onto a hand. Certain information or setup stuff. So we are at the cusp of a brand new interface with regard to how we work with technology. And the best technology will feel like magic. You won't note, you won't feel it. You'll need something. It'll either anticipate that need or facilitate that need in a seamless, easy that makes your life incredibly, incredibly smart. And on that note, we're going to have a quick ad break. We'll be back straight after this with our sponsors. And we'll be talking about some of the cool gadgets and some of the crazy gadgets I saw at MWC.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And again, mind-blowing technology, mind-blowing insights into new form factors, crazy talk around 6G and what is coming with 6G. And 6G is just not like before, which is faster, bigger, better, et cetera, like 4G, 5G, and all the rest. 6G is a fundamental rework of how connectivity works, how we connect to it, connects to other things. I mean, one simple fact that can absolutely blow your mind. 6G, then the network, the platform, the radios will be able to detect people, things, or objects in the real world, all the way down to gases that are present in the air. So you can use your mobile network to check how much oxygen is floating about. It can then actually become hyper-aware of moving objects or objects in real space and adapt the network to take that into account or warn you that a car's approaching from your left at high speed and it may well impact you. But again, what is gluing all this together is AI and all the AI devices and projects and platforms and everything else to do with smart, omnipresent, and very well-organized computing devices floating about. But talking about gadgets, coming right down to earth and looking at absolutely the coolest gadgets that we saw. One of the first things, Lenovo were very clever. They had a pre-event briefing, and they showed off all their new technologies. But one of the coolest features we saw at that event was a bendy phone. It's not really a phone. Essentially, it's a phone that's able to bend or roll or fold. Flexible OLEDs and flexible screens have become not crazy anymore. You've seen it from Samsung. You've seen it from Oppo. Everyone's got a folding phone or a flip phone. Not everyone, but certainly enough of them out there. But this one actually rolled up, and you could put it on your arm, and it would act like a normal phone. It didn't look particularly petite or elegant. In fact, it looked like you just bent a phone and stuck it around your hand. Didn't look good, but it's good thinking about how you can use technology. But of more interest was a wonderful new device, which could be quite a godsend for architects, artists, people who draw in real time, was a device that has a full-on sort of digitizing pad come keyboard come input place on the front, and the screen was entirely transparent. And that sounds like all sort of next-gen and fancy. But what it could do with various cameras built in, you could, for example, take a picture of a building, then draw on the pad and make changes in real time with real mixed information coming through. And you could see through the screen to this thing that you're busy working on or drawing. So you could copy stuff. So it's pen friendly, totally transparent. The ability to mix real world elements with on-screen elements. So architects, artists, creative people could find enormous use for a computer of this sort. It then folds up, pops into your backpack, and off you go. So that was a really cool concept, something that Lenovo are working on. Whether it'll come out in the real world, I'm not certain. It may come out in the next little while, but it certainly was fully functional, running Windows 11, simple as any other computer to use, but with added benefits of mixed reality screen, which you could see through to other things. And it was opaque enough to work on spreadsheets when it needed to be, which is very interesting. So very, very clever technology indeed from Lenovo, along with a lot of other new releases of computers and other bits and pieces, which theoretically would make the repair of their laptops a lot smarter. And again, with AI being built in to Microsoft's entire stack, it's all available on their computer. And then I mentioned the Humane AI Pin, which is a crazy little device which looks like a little button that you put on your lapel. And it then connects up and gives you all sorts of answers with voice and everything. And within very defined elements, it worked extremely well. It certainly lost all sorts of crazy stuff. And it could project setup information on your hand, which was very, very cool. I didn't get much more time with it, just a brief demo. And the general sense is that it works quite well until it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it's dumb and really irritating. Another manufacturer that did a lot of work and announced a lot of interesting stuff was Honor. Honor had a huge range of new phones and new models. And I was very impressed with both the quality and the thinking that goes into it. They had some really beautiful devices with Porsche design, and very standard in terms of overall Android functionality. But I know they're available at very good prices in South Africa. They come from China, but they have full full Google functionality. Honor used to be a cheap brand of Huawei. They sold it off many years ago when all the sanctions hit, and they're now on standalone and are competing with Huawei in terms of quality, scale, price, and they've got a great range of support and services in South Africa. So it's always a good thing. You really do need to know about that. But their Magic 6 Pro has got AI-powered eye tracking. As I said, they were the ones who found a way to use AI for a very specific purpose. And tracking eyes is actually a very interesting thing. It can follow people when you have cameras, and you know, if you move around during a presentation, the picture will track you. Other devices have done this, but it was very convincing of what they did. They also launched a really interesting Porsche-themed version of their foldable phone, really cool looking, beautifully designed, stupidly expensive. But again, showing that their intention is to move into some really high quality, high end devices. And the V2 foldable, the Porsche design version of it, obviously had some really high quality cameras. They're really the top of all technology out there. But again, at stupid prices. We're talking 1,000 sort of euros, 1,400 euros for the basic Pro, and the Porsche version costing up to double that, 2,600, 2,700 euros. Not max RAM, 1 terabyte of storage, all that good stuff. But really, a little over the top for a device that'll probably be obsolete in about a year. Xiaomi as well launched their new 14 Ultra. They are definitely coming to South Africa. And also looked amazing, apart from the car that they were showing off, which looked super cool, a little bit Porsche in itself, some design elements. And they really had a tremendous range. She's had a wonderful new watch, which looks really cool. And it had one key feature, which is quite cool. You could customize it, not only the strap, but you could pop the bezel, which was turnable, around and change that to customize the watch to suit whatever outfit and whatever else you did. Wearables took a bit of a backseat, but there were tons of them. But before we get on with this particular trend and one last thing that I wish to share with you guys, we have to have another quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Before I get to what I would think is the craziest thing I saw at World Mobile, it's real fun, but we'll talk about it in a second. The other thing that was not launched, not announced, but teased was Samsung again. I mentioned at the launch of the S24, we saw they just dropped at the last thing, the Samsung Galaxy Ring. And the Galaxy Ring is going to be a help device. And at Mobile World, they showed it to select press. Unfortunately, I wasn't select enough to get hands-on with it. But all the information leaked, I saw a whole range of them. They come in a whole bunch of new sizes. So whatever your ring size is, you'll be able to buy in gold, silver, or a titanium type feel, and a black. And what is really cool about the new Samsung Ring? Well, there are two things. One's cool, one's not. It'll only work with Samsung to start and Android initially. So the Apple people will just have to suck it up and carry on with their Apple Watch. But a ring certainly is a lot easier to wear, use, or keep on your hand than a watch. Some people don't like sleeping with watches, and I think a ring device would really make a big difference. And Samsung have gone really out on this one. It's going to, they call it part of their whole AI-driven seamless health experiences. And again, on the Samsung S24, there are a lot of advancements in that space, but more detail to follow. But the Samsung Galaxy Ring looks like it's going to be a really transformative health product and give you so much insight into sleeping, vitality, health, all sorts of interesting stuff. So watch this space. It was quite a big shoot at a new era of wearables, because wearables up now have been bands, straps, things like that. And rings, there are a few out there. But when you put the power of Samsung on on a ring and all the sensors and everything else that have matured over this period, I think we're going to see some remarkable use cases and some really interesting stuff coming out of the Galaxy Ring. And hopefully what it does, it creates the next generation from everybody. So watch the space. But then on to the craziest little gadget that I saw. And that was a Barbie phone. It was really, I mean, all the hype, I mean, the Barbie hype has gone down a little, the summer of Barbie last year, and they're hoping maybe for a second summer of Barbie. But HMD, which are the manufacturers of Nokia, are working with Mattel, who obviously own the Barbie brand, to create a Barbie flip phone. Now, what was interesting, I had a look at it, it's super cool. The advertising and marketing around it is pretty cool. But what makes it seem a little bit sort of weird is this is not actually a smartphone. This is a flip phone. It's a standard sort of dumb phone plus. So it's a feature phone with a lot of little features. I mean, there's certain apps and things that run on it. And it's aimed at the young generation, which, again, my thinking is most of those guys would rather have a cheap smartphone or dad's old iPhone than some sort of cool Barbie's flip phone that pretty much is a dumb phone. But anyway, it was certainly a great little presentation. It's a very cool-looking little device, and it's fun and games. And HMD, Nokia make tons of these anyway for many markets around the world. So who knows? This might become a big thing. But it's a brand, and it's cool. So on that note, I've been told that my time is running out. So much to see, so much to talk about, so many new things happening. But certainly, mobile is bright. Communications is going to become ever present and even better than it ever was before. The era of 5G is still here, going to grow. 6G is coming by 2030, big time. So I know that sounds like a long way away, but it's only 6 years. So we are living in crazy times, and AI is literally everywhere. It's becoming clearer. It's going to be more nuanced. It's not the big daddy in the sky. We're going to see a lot of change, a lot of advancements in that space. And it's coming to a phone near you, or a computer near you, or a ring or a watch near you as quickly as you could ever imagine. So stay tuned, stay involved, stay informed, and just listen to Chai FM and Tech Talk right here on Thursdays. And this is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk. Till next time.